We'll do another cold opening. Bob just got you, Trevor. So in case no one listened to the show yesterday, we have Trevor Bello joining us today as our special guest. I really look forward to picking his brain. We're going to talk all things mining. I have to admit my knowledge on the mining sector is very limited, but I do enjoy digging into it. I'm just fascinated by the possibilities. So without any further ado, I do want to welcome Trevor to the stage. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me. I feel honored to be on with you guys today.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on. Trevor, if you don't mind, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want me to go like full like Bitcoiner story or just like what I do in the space?
No, let's hear everything.
Okay, I graduated high school in 2016, and after that, I've been working construction, odd, blue collar jobs. I've been a mechanic before construction. I've been a dishwasher, an auto painter, and my entire life, like, I struggled to find something that really fit for me. I struggled to find that place where I really fit in. And in 2020, my wife and I bought a home, and I quickly started realizing, hey, how am I supposed to live this life that I want to live? I want to live a more quality life, a more fulfilled life. And it was really difficult to look into the future and see where I was gonna put all these pieces together. In 2022, I found Bitcoin, and it was a long story to finding Bitcoin, but after I finally discovered it, I started listening to several podcasts, Preston Pysh, Guy Swan, Marty Bent, those kinds of things. And I started learning what Bitcoin truly was. And my eyes, they were opened. It was like that orange light being shined in my eyes. The light bulb fired off, and I quickly started immersing myself very deeply into the Bitcoin space. About a year after that, so in 2020, at the end of 2023, I discovered mining. I bought an S9 and I brought it home and I set it on my counter. I don't recommend that anybody just go and do that, especially if you have a wife. I call it the wife acceptance factor. This is something that has been a struggle for many Bitcoiners and myself included. So I bring this S9 home, I put it on the counter, and it does two things. It gets really hot and it gets really loud. And my wife gets home and she tells me, she's like, get that thing off my counter and out of my house. And I said, babe, it's mining Bitcoin. Like, I'm making freedom money and all these things. And she said, I don't care. It's loud. It's annoying. The cats are terrified. Like, get it out of my house. So I had this dilemma of, I want to mine Bitcoin. I want to be a part of the network. The ethos is, decentralization. And, helping to secure the network, collaboration, all that stuff. And so I had this dilemma. I found myself at a crossroads. So how do I mine Bitcoin, be a part of this network, hold Bitcoin, and also keep my wife happy? So this took me down a rabbit hole in and of itself, where I started to learn how the miner works, how to, optimize with firmware and other types of software and even hardware, like upgrading the fans and putting filters and boxes and stuff on it to make it quiet. And I was able to underclock the S9, which, if anybody doesn't understand what underclocking is, it's where you take a aftermarket firmware and you just underpower the device. So instead of it being full power, it just reduces the amount of power to the hashboards, and it also reduces the fan speed. This allows it to quiet down. I think the average noise is anywhere between 50 and like 70 decibels, which is pretty annoying. So I was able to reduce it down to, about 45 decibels, which is much more compatible with healthy living standards. So once I was able to do that, I ran that S9 for a couple of months, and it heated our house very well. One thing that was really cool was we didn't run our HVAC anymore. I live in a tiny little manufactured home in the coast of Oregon, and it gets pretty cold from the months of October to the months of March. So you've got a pretty good time frame here. I think it's like 6 months where it's just cold. And so for 6 months out of the year, I was able to run this S9. And what I noticed was, not only did my power bill get reduced by about 20%, I also was stacking sats. And this was the light bulb. This was the moment where I realized that Bitcoin mining and heat reuse, and I hadn't really put it that way, this is the moment that I realized that there's something here. And ever since, I have been deeply embedded within the Bitcoin mining heat sector, the heat reuse. We call ourselves hash rate heat punks. And, it's what I love to do. What I'm doing right now, I am the podcast host for the Build a Mine podcast and the Stacking Sats show. And I'm also the host of the Mastermind Club, which is a club that, Bitcoin Mining World has built. We teach people how to mine Bitcoin from hash rate heating scale in your home to industrial scale, you know, facilities. And, yeah, that's basically my background. That's what I do. And that's why I'm here.
So Trevor, what is the hash rate heating? Can you dive into that a little bit? I saw you make a couple X posts. So if you don't mind clarifying that.
Yeah. So hash rate heating is the simple process of taking a Bitcoin miner and using Bitcoin miners are just resistive heaters. You know, when you're mining Bitcoin, it doesn't matter whether you're using immersion cooling, hydro cooling, or air cooling. You have to pull the heat off of the Bitcoin miners. They're just resistive heaters. And the more heat that you can pull off of those miners, the more hash rate that you can effectively collect, you know, mine. And so the heat punks and the hash rate heaters are just people who take those Bitcoin miners and use them in processes that require heat. You know, you can think of, obviously there's the HVAC. So, you know, heating up the environment in your home, but also hot water, heating a hot tub. I've seen people use it to dehydrate food or, you know, heat up, chicken coops, those kinds of things. So a hash rate heater is simply a heater that runs off of Bitcoin.
So are these special heaters that we can just purchase online, or you show people how to create these themselves with their S9s?
So what I do is I show people how to build them, because you don't necessarily need to use an S9. You can use an S19, S21. You could even do a What's Miner machine, the M60s. I specifically go with the Bitmain S19 series just because they're a little bit easier and have a lot more aftermarket parts. But you can buy them off of certain websites. You know, Altair Technologies does a really great job of building things like the BitChimney. So it's a single hashboard S19 variant. And then SatStack and Pleb, Mark Werlin actually has one too. It's a different iteration, but it's called the Stealth Miner. So you definitely can buy these just straight off the internet, but I find, you know, there's that phrase that if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, or if you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. I find the education is more empowering for individuals with you teach a person how hash rate heaters work and show them how to build them themselves. Not only are they a lot cheaper, but they're also, it's a lot more fun.
So what's the return on investment after you go ahead and purchase? I know these miners, well, I know a couple of years ago, they weren't very cheap. They were several thousand dollars. So is it just kind of like a hobby thing where you're going to be in the hole the whole time, or is there a potential to go ahead and point this towards some kind of pool and recoup your money?
You know, I don't want to sit here and lie to everyone and say, oh, you're going to make your money back. A lot of this is a hobby, an ideological hobby, but the issue with finding the numbers and figuring out what the ROI is the situation is different for everyone. First and foremost, when you're mining Bitcoin, your cost of electricity is a big component. You know, let's take the cost of acquisition or the cost of the miners out of the scenario for right now. If your electricity price is over 10 cents a kilowatt hour, ROIing on this machine is not likely. Now, if you are, you know, mining in a place where your electricity is 5 to 10 cents or even sub 5 cents, you're pretty guaranteed to ROI. But the other thing that we got to take into account is how much do you pay for heat? If you're using electricity, so if you've got a hydronic boiler, or not a hydronic boiler, if you've got an HVAC system that uses electricity to create the heat, Bitcoin mining could be a good place for you to go, because the electricity used in a Bitcoin miner, I forget the conversion, but it's BTC to BTUs. All of the watts that you're using to mine Bitcoin are directly converted into BTUs. And it's called the I'm totally forgetting what it's called, but there's a coefficient that tells you the degrees or the amount of heat that you're going to get directly in relation to the amount of watts that you get. But to answer your question, to ROI on one of these things, you have to look at several factors. And one is what you're paying for heat currently. The other is how much you're paying for electricity. And then also the cost of your miner. So for me, my miner was about $350. I pay about 10 cents a kilowatt hour mining. I also don't mine 24/7. I only mine when I need the heat, but I'm not paying for the heat anymore. I'm actually collecting Bitcoin on the back end that I would be using to buy that heat anyways. So, it's really hard to figure out whether or not you're going to actually ROI. And then also you could add in the fact that, like, are you selling your Bitcoin right away, which I don't recommend, but, I hold my Bitcoin forever, hodl to the moon. So after every 4 years, we know with a pretty good certainty that Bitcoin is going to at least double. So if I mine, let's say I mined 100,000 sats worth $100 this month, well, I know 4 years from now, that's going to be worth at least $200. So right there, I mean, I can say that I've ROI'd, after so many years. Again, it's really hard to put a number on it and decide whether or not you're going to ROI. Sorry. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it definitely did. So really quick before I start diving into this a little bit further, if everybody could just go to the top of the page here and let's go ahead and retweet this link. Let's get some more people in this space. And then we do have the chat box open at the bottom. So if you have any questions for Trevor, you can definitely go ahead and just type them in the box. Or you can go ahead and request to come up on stage and ask them up here. So Trevor, I'd like to go ahead and so you have your own podcast, the Build a Mine podcast. How is that going for you, and what drove you to go ahead and start that?
Yeah, the podcast is going really well. We started this podcast a little less than a year ago, so it was last March that we started. And what initially drove me to start the podcast was, there's a lot of Bitcoin podcasts. There's a lot of educational content in the Bitcoin space, which is great, but there's not a lot of mining podcasts. And there is a couple, you've got Pod 256, you have a couple of others, but what I noticed is there's nobody really talking to the builders, the developers, the entrepreneurs within Bitcoin. Most of the podcasts that you see right now are going to the large industrial pubcos and talking to them about their Bitcoin mining operations and talking numbers and heuristics. And that's something that I don't care about. I really don't care about the large pubcos and, investing in Bitcoin mining. I mine Bitcoin because I am securing the network. I am upholding the ethos of Bitcoin. And so we started this podcast with the intent to start talking to these developers, talking to these builders, these mine operators, and really get into the nitty gritty of how Bitcoin mining works and why we need Bitcoin mining as a society, as a community, as a nation and a global population. And so through the course of this journey, I've been able to speak with so many individuals doing really cool things, people who are, building, oil and gas, like flare mitigation sites down in the Permian Basin. I've spoken with people up in Canada that are mining in the middle of winter and sending heat to, their livestock. I've talked with people who are building Bitcoin mining rigs and devices that help regular plebs with efficiency and, you know, everybody in between. And so it's been a really fun journey. Obviously the podcast is still very, very small. So if anybody wants to, you know, help support me in my mission, you know, go to the Build a Mine podcast. That's build-a-mine podcast on YouTube, Spotify, X. You can find it as well. We're still growing. We want to teach everybody that Bitcoin mining is possible, whether you want to be an industrial scale miner or you want to be a small miner. My whole goal is just to educate the community and raise up the next generation of Bitcoin miners.
Well, that's awesome to hear. And I do have a link up in the nest of your latest podcast, episode 57. So if anybody wants to go ahead and click on that, you can start following that podcast. And so I know that Solo Satoshi is one of our partners, and I know that you work with a little Bitaxes. Do you recommend that everyone should at least just get one of those and have it to at least contribute to the mining sector, even though, you know, if you just do it by yourself, the odds are extremely low?
100%. 100%. Go to Solo Satoshi, buy yourself a Bitax. And there's a couple of reasons for this. First and foremost, like, you're going to learn. You know, there's this whole idea of like, you can learn from podcasts. You can watch my podcast. You can learn some stuff. You can learn from reading books. But until you physically have a device in your hand and you learn how to configure the device, how to set up your wallet address and how to, monitor your dashboard, even how to upgrade the fans and clean the device, you don't know enough. And everybody needs to know how Bitcoin mining works, to be honest. Secondly, you know, the fact is that you're probably not going to find a block with a BitX. But what you are going to do is you're going to add your hash rate to the network. And that in some small way helps to secure Bitcoin's protocol. The more BitXs, the more home miners, the more small devices that we can spread globally, the more that we decentralize and secure Bitcoin's network. Now, I can't remember what the exact number is, and maybe Matt or Hunter from Solo Satoshi could come on and, you know, give a better number. But if, you know, 1% of the world was using a BitX or, you know, a small hash rate heater or something along those lines, we could basically outcompete the large pubcos and the large mining industrial facilities when it comes to the hash rate output.
Sorry, I couldn't find my mute button. I pulled an Eddie there. And the relative cost of doing the BitX is very negligible. So I think, Dr. Nick, you have a question, sir. I'm going to let you go ahead and fire away.
You just been yeah, having mic issues, so maybe give him a minute. But yeah, I'll take this moment of silence to say BitX is pretty cool. I have one sitting on my desk, and I like it. It's nice to be able to just glance over it and see it there doing its part. You know, it's like that little kid in Starship Troopers. You know, I'm doing my part too. that's my little BitX sitting here. I also have like an Apollo 2 in my basement, and they're both mining through the node running on my Apollo 2. So there's, you know, it's a really cool space, and like, you know, it scratches that like gambling itch that you might get, you know? So I always tell people, you guys, if you've been listening for a while, I always say, if you have an urge to gamble on shit coins, I would recommend you gamble instead by, buying one of these lottery miners and hoping for the best. Cause you're benefiting more people by doing this than you are with shit coins.
I completely agree. And, you know, the cool thing about these, BitAxes is that, you know, they are just a Bitcoin miner. And so you can overclock these devices. I've seen some crazy iterations of the BitAxe. You know, you take one BitAxe Supra, gets like 600 gigahash, and then you dunk it in immersion oil, and you can overclock it. I want to say by at least 25%. So you're kind of coming up on that one terahash mark. And there are people now that are taking BitAxes, they're pulling the chips and doing an 8-chip configuration or a 4-chip configuration. There's so many things that you can do with it. So it really does scratch that gambling itch, but also that tinkerer's itch. If you're the type of person that likes to tinker and DIY things.
Miss Lisa, good morning. I see you have your hand up.
Good morning, guys. No, I just popped on stage to harass Trevor because your Build a Mind podcast has me blocked and I cannot follow you.
Oh, well, let's go fix that.
Yeah, you really should.
Why are you blocked? That is weird.
It's perplexing, Trevor, because, I mean, you may not know this, but everyone likes me. No one blocks
me. Well, let's go take care of that right now. I'm going to unblock you. I don't know why you're blocked. That's odd.
Not to give people false hope, but, someone did solo mine a block. It looks like it was yesterday, block 881,423. So it can happen.
Yeah, that was a really cool block. From what I understand, Scott 9000 in conjunction with, who was it? I think the boys at Bitcoin Park, they had asked for donations of hash rate to their Apollo node, and, they ended up getting 21 petahash to be donated to the block or to the node, and they found a block, it was a live block. So they did it on air. It was pretty cool.
That's awesome. And that's like such a cool way. I think, I forget who I was talking to. It was just this morning. Maybe it was in the back channels or whatever, but you know, just a really cool way for like fundraising to occur in the future. You know, like if you could just have, armies of people just dumping some hash rate into your node. And then, you know, if you get that block, then you get a pretty sizable donation. And like for each individual, it costs, you know, very little to be running, you know, these devices. So that's really cool. Hopefully we see more of that. You know, be cool for, BV to get that set up so we can, do that.
Yeah. I mean, why donate dollars, fiat garbage, when you can donate hash rate and then, you know, give someone a block? I mean, you don't even have to donate that much. You donate hash rate for a day, obviously, and someone could possibly win this block, and we could mine solo blocks for all these different, foundations and organizations to give them funding so that they can continue doing the work that they're doing to spread the word of Bitcoin.
Go ahead, Wade.
That's good. How do you feel about Bitcoin miners further north of the U.S., like for climate control, for places like Canada, Alaska, maybe Greenland in the future?
Oh, I think it's a great option. You know, I have family in Alaska, in Ketchikan specifically, and they actually spend, you know, $500 every couple of months on heating oil for a hydronic boiler to heat their home. And Bitcoin miners are just a perfect opportunity for them to A, not spend so much in heating oil, and B, to mine Bitcoin and secure the network. Now, they don't really care about it, but if you kind of extrapolate this out to how many people are living in these scenarios where they have access to electricity, but the electricity the infrastructure is generally hydronic boilers, wood stoves, propane heaters, those kinds of things. It seems like a no-brainer to try to use a Bitcoin miner as a heat source in those scenarios.
So do you plan on visiting your family come early July this year?
I very well might. We'll see. I'll have to see if I can't push some things around. I really want to get up to the Bitcoin Alaska conference. It's in Juneau. So if I go, I'm going to have to try to convince my pregnant sister to come out to Juneau, but it's not too far away.
Awesome. We look forward to seeing you. Let us know how we can help.
For sure.
Hey, Trevor, on the, just talking about heating sources, are you seeing any, like, do you think that people will use these in, like, be hashing from their water heaters in the future? Like, what do you see on just, like, big companies putting these into, everyday use, like, appliance-wise?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now we're not seeing anybody do that, but, you know, I had a conversation with Tyler Stevens on my podcast, and we talked about what happens when a company like GE decides to build a smart water heater. Now it's not happening right now. GE is not investing in Bitcoin mining tech, which is fine for now. And somebody's going to crack this egg. But, the main issue is that right now we cannot get water to boiling. We can get water to about 100, and I think the highest I've seen it is 120 degrees. Most hot water heaters heat up to about 150. So what people are doing right now, you know, you have these pleb builders who are building what's called a buffer tank. So they take the hot water in inlet and they run it through a buffer tank, and that buffer tank is being heated by a Bitcoin miner, and it's heating your ambient water from anywhere between, you know, 50 to 60 degrees and heating it up to about 90 to 120 degrees, which then makes it easier for your electric water heater to, or your gas water heater to heat up from 120 to 150 versus heating up from, you know, 60 to 150. What's going to happen is once GE and these other industries catch on, these, you know, companies that build these kinds of appliances, once they catch on and they start developing this tech, you know, they have the product lines, they have the infrastructure, they have the connections to really streamline this process. And so I do imagine, you know, somewhere in the future, you know, maybe it's 5 years, maybe it's 10 years, you're going to be able to go into Home Depot and you're going to be able to buy a smart water heater. And the only difference between this water heater and a normal water heater is the fact that it needs to be connected to Wi-Fi. And people aren't going to know the difference. People aren't going to know the difference whatsoever. But what this does is, you know, imagine being able to buy a water heater that's a third of the cost of a standard water heater. And GE would, you know, subvertedly, you know, maybe a little bit maliciously, collect that Bitcoin on the back end. But it could go even a step further where people do understand what Bitcoin is. People do know that Bitcoin mining is a thing, and they buy the smart water heater, and maybe they buy it for a premium. You know, maybe it costs a little bit more, but you can now mine Bitcoin with it and also heat your water. I think it's really cool what some of these plebs are doing. I know several plebs that have built hot water heaters and hot tubs that are heated from Bitcoin miners. So every time the wife gets in the hot tub or they take a shower, they're mining Bitcoin. And they actually, I know one guy who has a chart that tells him exactly how much he's making every time he takes a shower.
That's awesome. I have plans, aspirations maybe at this point, but I have a couple retired, hosted miners in my basement, and my plan is to get, fog hashing immersion unit, and then, do a kind of a valve. So summertime heat pool water, and then wintertime heat my basement, through like a baseboard type heating style. So that's the goal. I don't know how well it'll work, but it's going to be fun and interesting, to do.
Surprisingly, it'll work very well. Reach out. I'd love to get you in contact with some of the guys that have done those specific builds, and we can get you started on that project.
Really quick, I just want to give a quick thank you to our partners, Black Sheep Ammo. Restock your ammo at blacksheepammo.com. Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining, solosatoshi.com. You heard Trevor earlier. Get yourself a BitAx. Use the code BTCVETS, 5% off your order. Pay in Bitcoin, get additional 10% off, so 15% off your order. Solosatoshi.com. Punch Stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate. Check them out, punchplate.com, and Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training at paladintowertactics.com. And Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th and 6th. This is in Juneau. Get there early. Pre-conference activities take place on the 1st. Everything finishes on the 7th. Family-friendly conference. There's going to be a lot of great speakers, a lot of great events. This is not going to be your typical conference. And you have our own Lisa going to be speaking. So make sure you join us. Go get your tickets at bitcoinalaska.org. So I see Dr. Nick, you had your hand back up again. Do you want to go ahead and ask your question, or do you want us to go ahead and keep moving on?
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, cool. Hey, sorry, I kind of just saw this that you were a guest, Trevor, here last minute. I've been scrambling to try to get on. I probably have a bunch of questions I could ask, but I'll try to keep it short. I noticed that there was a, you mentioned the 256 Foundation and using hash rate as a form of donation. And this kind of just came across my radar just yesterday, this Hydropool, initiative or program. Do you have any insight on that and kind of what that looks like for the future?
Not really. I haven't seen too much about it, but, I mean, thinking about the implications of being able to donate your hash rate to a foundation, like say Hydropool 256 Foundation, it's pretty wild. I mean, obviously you're no longer like the amount of hash rate that you have is insignificant compared to the global hash rate. And will you ever solo mine a block? It's very unlikely, but if you could help donate to a foundation that has the ability to do greater things with that hash rate, I think the implications are that the world becomes a much better place. Obviously, we've got this phrase, fix the money, fix the world, and it's kind of true, but donating to Bitcoin built foundations like 256 Foundation, like OpenSats, these places, you know, they're doing incredible things with that Bitcoin that is being donated, or even the hash rate that is being donated. And, you know, I think that all Bitcoiners really want to see the world get better. I think that's kind of why we Bitcoin. We don't just, it's not just number go up. It's, you know, we want to leave a better world than we were given. And through these foundations, we can actually start to see those changes happen.
Yeah, definitely. I think just kind of reading up on it a little bit, it seems like it's going to make it super easy for just about anybody to spin up their own pool. So even if you're just living in like your local community, you want to have your own pool with your neighbors and stuff, everybody's Bitcoin mining, like, or if you have a nonprofit, you can spin one up fairly easily. I think this is going to make this very user-friendly to do something like that in the future, and I'm very interested in learning more about it. And also, kind of along with that, you had mentioned increasing education when it comes to Bitcoin mining. So I didn't know, are there any specific resources that you recommend? And I don't know if you talked about this earlier. If so, I apologize. I joined like just a few minutes late. But are there going to, do you see more things like a lot more podcasts about Bitcoin mining, home mining, popping up, a lot more books and stuff, and even like conferences like the Heat Punk Summit, which I'll be in attendance at. So if you're out there, maybe I'll see you. But just kind of want to get your thoughts on how you see education about this increasing.
Yeah, I mean, the education is slowly starting to be rolled out. You know, first, shameless plug, we have the Mastermind Club, which is a group of Bitcoin miners, you know, everything from the large industrial size miners to the small hash rate heaters. And, you know, we're building this community where it's not just somebody facilitating the education, like on a podcast. We have the community helping each other and trying to support each other. Then obviously you've got, you know, books coming out, like Tyler Stevens just wrote a book in coordination with Brains. And, I think it's called, Hash Rate Heater. I'm not exactly sure what it's called. I apologize. I'm blanking on it, but, he's just written a book on hash rate heating and Bitcoin mining. There's a couple of podcasts, not too many. I don't think there's too many really talking about the hash rate heating side other than like myself and, you know, that's really the only one that I know of right now. But you've got you've got different educational outlets. There's the Hashrate Heat Punks on Telegram, which is just a group of, you know, crazy philosophical, individual or ideological individuals, sorry, that, you know, we believe Bitcoin in Bitcoin's ethos and we believe in spreading the message. And so we're helping a lot of people. You know, you can find people like Gerald Glickman, people like, Schnitzel, Tyler's in there. There's a lot of really great resources for people in there, but right now it's still a niche within a niche within a niche. And, there's not a lot of people talking about it. I think we have like 36 people in the Hashrate Heat Punks group, but, there's definitely resources out there. They're just kind of few and far between. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I started the podcast and why I'm doing this new show is to just kind of spread that information and teach people how to get involved.
Awesome. If it's okay. I'd like to go ahead and start. Oh, go ahead, Nick.
No, I just wanted to say thank you for that answer and ask real quick if you would be at the Ebunk Summit in Denver.
Oh, 100%. I'm 100% going to be there. We're going to be filming a lot of the B-roll and going around and talking to some of the people who are building really cool hash rate heating applications. So I'll be there.
Awesome. Look forward to speaking with you there.
For sure. Hope to meet, man.
So Trevor, it looks like you do a lot of work with Space Denver. Do you mind kind of getting into that and why it's important to start creating your own citadels in your cities and towns?
Well, okay. I'll be honest. So I have not done a lot of work with Space Denver. We've done a few things with Tyler, specifically. He's been on my podcast and he's also, you know, come and he spoke with our community, our mastermind community. So I just want to put that out there. But, the whole idea of building these citadels is, again, it comes down to fostering community and it comes down to growing education. An empowered individual is a strong individual. And I think, you know, this is the perfect audience, you know, to talk about this is like, you know, it's that whole idea of an armed society is a polite society. Well, the same thing kind of goes for information and education. So you've seen, you know, what, Bitcoin Park has done down in Nashville. You've seen what Bitcoin Beach has done in El Salvador and they're empowering the community. They're teaching people about here. Sorry. Let me turn my notifications off. They're teaching people about, Bitcoin and, decentralized finance, not DeFi, but like Bitcoin as decentralized finance. And they're teaching people how this can empower them and make them a sovereign individual in a sense. And these are communities, these are citadels that are much needed in the world because when you can go, you know, everybody can go to Twitter, everybody can hop on and, you know, find their community. But when you can go to a place like a meetup or, you know, an environment where there's other Bitcoiners who are helping to educate and teach. It's very empowering. If you haven't been to a Bitcoin meetup or a event like Bitcoin Alaska, I highly, highly implore everyone to do so because, you know, little story is like when I first got into Bitcoin, I had nobody. I mean, I live in a small town in rural Oregon. And so there's nobody really talking about Bitcoin. And so every time I bring it up, I'm the crazy guy in the room. And then I went to a meetup. I went to an event where there were other Bitcoiners and it was like this, it was a breath of fresh air. And then you start talking about all the different little nuanced topics of how Bitcoin is helping this and doing that and empowering people here, there and otherwise. It really gives you a sense of hope for the future. And I think that that's something that we really need. You look at the generations that are starting to, you know, come online, for lack of a better phrase, is like they're becoming, you know, teenagers and young adults. And there's a lot of sadness and depression and anxiety because they have no idea how they're going to survive in a world where the money printer is just constantly stealing from them. Saw something pop up. But yeah, so, you know, these citadels are creating this hope where, you know, these new generations, these new people, these new entrants into the space have a much better understanding of how Bitcoin can overlay on top of their lives and make their lives a lot easier.
And so do you mind just diving into that a little bit further and the importance of doing these small meetups versus the large ones? And I'll use the Bitcoin Miami or Bitcoin Nashville conferences as an example. I think it's really easy, especially for new people trying to branch out and meet Bitcoiners in real life. You just get lost, because there's just so many people. And with these smaller, I'm going to use Bitcoin Alaska again. It's going to be a small event. But even if you're not able to get to that one, why it's so important to go out and just start your own.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Let's be honest here. Bitcoin, the Bitcoin conference, it's a good conference. Well, it used to be a good conference. It's getting filled with a lot of shit coins, you know, things built on Bitcoin that aren't, you know, in line with Bitcoin's ethos. And if we're going to spread Bitcoin to the world, we have to do so in a way that sticks to the ethos and the like original ideas behind Bitcoin. Otherwise, it just becomes paper Bitcoin in a sense. So what these smaller meetups do, you know, Bitcoin Alaska, the Hashrate Heat Punk Summit in Denver, this allows you to focus in on what truly matters. You know, Bitcoin is something that truly matters. Giving people an opportunity to store their energy, their time, their savings in something that can't be debased and stolen from them. This is important. And so there's that aspect, but also there's the aspect of actually getting to have a long drawn out conversations with other individuals that, you know, share your passions and your ideas, and maybe they have different ideas and they have different passions, but they generally have the same values. And this is something that is much needed. So when you go to one of these events, you know, you can learn about Bitcoin, you can learn about hash rate heating, you can learn why it's important, but you can also find community. It's something that's super important. So if you don't have a meetup near you, I would say start building a meetup, start finding your community within your community, I guess, for lack of a better phrase. But this is something that it's going to help your mental state, because, you know, we need other people around us, like telling us, hey, yeah, like this is something that I value. This is something that I enjoy. This is something that I need. And we also need Bitcoin. So I hope that answered your question.
It most definitely did. And don't be scared to go out there and create your own. Have realistic expectations. I think if you're going to start one locally, expect to have maybe, you know, 2 to 6 people show up, but eventually that'll start to grow and double in size. So thank you for that, Trevor.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are you excited about over the next couple of years with the mining development? Is there anything that's really caught your radar, other than the heat pumps? What else are you really focused in on?
Well, I mean, I focus mainly on hash rate heating. That is something that I am deeply passionate about. Something that I'm really excited about is, you know, we have these large industrial mining, manufacturers, you know, the ASIC chip developers, and they are not catering to the plebs. They are not building devices that work for us. So you look at the computing industry. When you want to build a computer, you can go out and you buy your graphics card from one company, you buy your fans from another company, you buy your CPU from another company, you buy all these different components from different companies, and you put it together to make the ultimate computer for you. With the mining industry, you don't do that. You go to one company, you get the hash boards, you get the control board, you get the power supply, you get all of this stuff from one company. And it's generally optimized for an industrial setting. So, you know, thinking you've got thousands of these machines stacked on top of each other in shoeboxes, and away you go. What is happening is that slowly, you know, you've got this new development from Canaan, which is a baseboard style heater. So it plugs into the wall, you hook it up to Wi-Fi, you put it at the baseboard, and it starts heating the room or the area. what I want to see and what I think we're going to see over the next few years is when these large industrial mining manufacturers start to build hashboards and chips for us specifically, or even better, they start getting us chips that are rolled. A big issue with the BitAx development right now is that in order to build a BitAx, you have to take an S19 or an S21 and you have to pull the hashboards and start pulling the individual chips off of the hashboards to then put on the BitAx. And this is a very time consuming process. So when we have the ability to get rolled chips, so it's just, you know, a bunch of chips, mining ASIC chips on a roll that you could put into a automated process, a assembly line, for lack of a better phrase, and start building these different chipsets or, you know, hash boards or, you know, PCB boards the way that you want, the design that you want and that you need for your form factor, that's going to move the space much more quickly, much faster, because right now what people are doing is going back to what I said earlier is that we're taking apart S19s and S21s and M60s and we're building the hash rate heaters that we want, but the form factors are limited because we have to use these, you know, 12 inch by 12 inch hash boards that Bitmain or MicroBT gives us. So once that changes, I think we're going to see the industry proliferate a lot more and it'll be a lot cooler to see, you know, maybe we do get water heaters that have, you know, hash boards that are 2 inches wide, but 4 feet long. And, those kinds of builds are something that I'm really looking forward to when these large industry leaders are competing for our business. Things start to change really quickly.
How far out do you think we are till that happens?
It's hard to say. I mean, we have these new devices. This baseboard heater from Canon is a first step. It's a small step. Well, maybe it's not a small step. It's kind of a big step in the right direction, but I don't know. My hope is this cycle, really and truly, but it could be a while. So, you know, maybe 5 to 8 years.
Okay. Do you mind going into why that new space heater from, you said it was Canon, is such a big deal? Mm-hmm. I saw it floating through the news, maybe 2 weeks ago. But do you mind diving into that?
Yeah. So Canon they have a foundry where they're able to build PCB boards and hash boards into different form factors. And what they have built, it's a 37 terahash, 800 watt Bitcoin miner. And it's specifically built for heating. It's not built to go into a large industrial mining farm. It's not built to, you know, go into one of those applications. It is built for the home setting, which means that it comes with UL listings. It comes with certifications. It comes with safety regulations, all these things which make for a much, much more compatible hash rate heater. You know, I'm going to take back to this analogy that Bob Paul, the creator of the Bitcoin Home Immersion Channel, Bitcoin Mining Home Immersion Channel gave me, is that, you know, you can go buy a car off the assembly line with 800 horsepower. It's, you know, $80,000. It's a sick car. It's awesome. You know, safe, fast, reliable. Or you can build one. You know, you can go get your little Honda Civic and you can put $40,000 into the motor and the transmission and you can put nitrous on it or all these different things. And you might have a fast car, but is it safe? Is it reliable? Is it, you know, going to work all the time? Maybe not. So taking that back to the mining is that, you know, these mining rigs that we're building in our homes that the plebs are building, I think it's great. You know, we need the DIYers. That's something that I personally have found a passion in. I love building these devices, but to build a device that is not only accepted by the community, but also safe, reliable, has all of the certifications and UL listings that you're going to need if you're, you know, building something of large scale, is very difficult. And then shipping and manufacturing these devices comes with its own hurdles and drawbacks as well. So when we have something like the baseboard heater from Canon and then other manufacturers building something similar, it really changes things, because now the average person, you know, somebody who's just barely heard about Bitcoin, they don't understand what mining is. Now they can go out and they can purchase something that has actual utility, you know, for their home. You know, I need heat. Everybody likes to be warm. That it has real utility. And then also caveat that by saying, yeah, you can mine Bitcoin. They don't even have to, you know, believe in the ethos necessarily. They don't even have to understand how it works. They literally just plug it in, use the app interface to connect their wallet, and they're mining Bitcoin and also heating their home. And so this is a huge step forward, and it's a huge step for progress in the Bitcoin space, because the best way to onboard someone into Bitcoin, in my opinion, is to give them utility, and that utility can be found in heat. And if you can show somebody, hey, this process is super easy. You take this device, you plug it in, you start mining Bitcoin, and you also get to take part in this revolution that is unfolding before our eyes.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. And again, it just brings in a people who might not have been interested in it, but it's a real life application, so they get exposure. So it's fascinating. I really do like the mining side, even though I'm so limited with it. The possibilities are almost endless. It's just how creative do you want to be?
Yeah. And here's another thought, you know, what happens? Okay. What happens when we can get chips that can get chipsets? Cause the chips can get hotter, but it's the PCB boards that we're having an issue with, getting up to temperature. But what happens when a mining manufacturer builds us a PCB board and a chipset that can get to boiling? When we can boil a fluid, we can create steam. And when you can create steam, you can power a turbine. And when you can power a turbine, you can generate electricity. So there is, you know, I think the number is about 10% of the electricity that you could generate for your mining operation. So you could, in theory, when you have these chips that are, you know, get hot enough, you could, in theory, power 10% of the operation to feed back into mining Bitcoin.
And I would assume that there are people or developers trying to figure out how to do this?
Yes. I mean, people are trying. People are working in their own little echo chambers at this moment. Right now, we're not optimizing for thermal limit. We're optimizing for efficiency. That's what Bitmain is optimizing their chipsets for. They want to get the most efficient mining chip that they can. And because of that, you know, the more efficient that you get your chips, the more traces and, things that are on this board, which makes it difficult to hit higher temperature thresholds. So we're seeing the temperature threshold drop. You know, the S9 it had a lot less chips on it. It had a lot less, efficiency output. So it could go higher. So right now we're seeing people work on it, but a lot of it's open source developers who don't have the funding to continue working on these developments. So yes and no.
Dr. Nick, I saw you had your hand up, sir. Did you have a question?
Yeah, more of a comment, just kind of along the lines of that open source nature that you just mentioned. The mining industry has notoriously not been free and open source. And it's just kind of absurd how that's worked out, you know, and the whole ethos behind Bitcoin is to not trust but verify. And it's along with, you know, seeing some of these home mining solutions that are coming out, like the Canon miner that you mentioned, which I don't believe is open source. I could be wrong, but seeing some of those come out along with all this open source stuff like the BitX is really just an incredible step forward. I just kind of want to really reiterate that. And like it allows somebody to get, you know, a little CNC machine. You know, I got one that I spent, I think, $250 on. I can make my own PCBs here at home, solder these ASICs on there and make my own BitX. Like I think really open source is the way forward for everything, but especially home mining in general. And I think that, I think it's a really important step, and I think it needs to be pushed more, because I think it's just absurd how closed source the entire industry is right now. And it's mostly, you know, publicly traded companies, like you said, but, the more people we get on board, you know, the more we can secure the network and really push this thing forward.
Yeah, Nick, to your point, you know, the Canon is not open source. And let's be honest here. Let's give the large industrial manufacturers their due. You know, they have gotten us to this point, but they're becoming outdated dinosaurs and they don't care. They don't care about us. They do not care about the ethos of Bitcoin. They do not care about the home miners. They don't care about the plebs. I would venture to say that they never have. There is actually, you know, I'm going to throw some shade at Canon because I did just talk them up, but there has been some controversy around, you know, their Avalon, nanos. You know, somebody was able to backdoor the, or, not backdoor. They were able to, jailbreak the miner, and they were able to get into the code, and they were able to see that Canon has several backdoors into their miner, meaning that if they wanted to, like, you know, think about a fork war scenario where, you know, you point your hash rate in the direction of the fork that you choose. If they so wanted to, they could point your hash rate, brute force your hash rate to whatever fork they decide. And so this is a scary thought. And this is why we need more open source development aligned with the ethos of Bitcoin. Yes, the Canon baseboard heater, it's a great step in the direction of onboarding individuals. But in the scenario of a, you know, an attack on Bitcoin, a fork on Bitcoin, we want to be able to point our hash rate in the direction of the fork that we believe is the best for Bitcoin. And if you have somebody who could, in theory, steal that from you, then are we really sovereign individuals? Are we really doing what's best for Bitcoin? And I think the answer is no.
That's crazy. Has there ever been any evidence of like other producers, with like similar backdoors, like Antminer or any of those?
Yes, there has. I mean, as far as I know, I can't remember which one it is, but Bitmain had a backdoor into their miners.
That's crazy. I had never heard of that before. It's also something that's kind of interesting. I don't think it's like an issue just yet, but would be interesting to know, like, to just have a chat about at some point. Like, how do you maintain, like, on the, like, how do you choose? I wouldn't know how to choose a fork at this point. You know what I mean? So that would be something that'd be interesting to discuss at some point.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of ossification is it's a controversial thing. You know, some people believe in ossification. Others believe that in order for Bitcoin to get where it needs to go, like there are some changes that need to be made. The issue is that I'm not highly educated and not highly technical on this topic. So I can't really provide, an answer or, a side to take. Sometimes I do agree with the ossifiers. Sometimes I don't agree with them. In the sense that there are things that Bitcoin needs in order to scale. And one of these ideas, this point that the non-ossify camp has thrown out there, is that the more people that we onboard into Bitcoin, the harder it is to provide these soft forks. Nobody's vying for a hard fork, but people are vying for a soft fork. And a soft fork is just a backwards compatible code change, you know, think like different opsecs and stuff like that. And there are some things that we need in order for Bitcoin to scale. But when looking at like a hard fork or a soft fork and whether or not you choose to go with the other, like there's a lot of education that needs to be done. And I'm not really the best person to ask because I really don't know. I have met so many people that were on the wrong side of the block size wars back in 2017. And it was only in hindsight that they could look back and say like, yeah, I was on the wrong side.
Hey, but Trevor, like if, can I just chime in real quick? How's it going, Trevor? I'm fascinated and a big fan of your work, yours and Bob Burnett's. And I just wanted to say real quick, speaking on education, given that this is somewhat of a niche, you know, subject that most people aren't aware of, I think it's super important that we bring this to the forefront. And so I just wanted to mention that, we have an event coming up in June at, in Tampa. It's a Bitcoin Day event and we'll have all sorts of big speakers. We'd love to have a panel designated for this topic specifically. So if you, we can get Bob involved. He was just at our Bitcoin Day last week here in Naples. We'd love to have, you know, this be a focal point. And also we've got Lawrence Lepard, Jeff Boof, and Dominic Frisbee coming by. And, you know, they're not really focused on this, but I think if they were aware of it more, they would use their platform to shine light on it. So I'm just curious if that's something you'd like to take, if you want to take up this offer, because I think it needs to be something that the mainstream is aware of. Because right now, you know, only experts deep in the weeds are even aware that, that this is a possibility.
Yeah, 100%. I'm actually, Bitcoin Mining World is going to be at Bitcoin Day Naples in July. So, you know, just let me know how I can help and what I can do. I think that getting these big names, you know, Bob, Lawrence, you know, even people like, Mechanic from Ocean, you know, to talk about these specific topics is, it is necessary. It is important. So I love what you guys are
doing. 100%. Mechanic from Ocean, that's the guy we need to be touching, you know, to be speaking on this. So I'll circle back with you and John to, see if we can get a panel going for Mechanic and, you know, Mark or Timko and all those guys.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool, man. Rock on.
So we're getting to the top of the hour. I want to be respectful of everyone's time. We've been running the shows a little bit late. So Yomer, Bob, or Wade, do you guys have any other questions you'd like to ask Trevor?
No, just it was a really interesting conversation. You know, as a very basic level bleeb miner, it's interesting hearing more about stuff going on and you know, continuing to learn. So I'm going to check out your podcast there. I forget what it's called already, but it's up in the nest. I think Coleman put it up in the nest. So looking forward to listening to that and, you know, learning some more. So thanks for coming on. Build a mind pod. That's what it was, right?
Absolutely. You know, something I want to highlight is we all start off at zero. We all start off as, you know, somebody who has no information and doesn't know anything. And you just got to take that first step, you know, get yourself a BitAx, get yourself, you know, a piece of hardware so that you can start learning. And once you take that step, you know, the rabbit hole is endless. You know, I've only been doing this for about a year, the Bitcoin mining, and what I've been able to learn by having conversations with people in the space, individuals, you know, like some of the people on this, this call today, it's expanded my knowledge so much that, you know, and it's funny because my wife is listening right now. So hi, babe. But she has to hear this all the time. And I think she would say that, you know, I have become much more eloquent in the way that I speak about Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining. And that is due to the conversations that I've been having, the education that has been being passed between minds in this community. And so I would just say to your point, get off zero. Find yourself something, you know, whether it's an S19, whether it's a BitAx, whether it's, you know, even a baseboard heater from Canaan. Get off zero and start playing in the space.
Yeah. And as somebody that, before I bought, home miners and like a BitAx, I had hosted miners and I found it much more like there's some interesting aspects of like the setting up the business and stuff for the hosted miners, but it's much more engaging. I think having like something in your house, you know, like profitability wise, it's a lot harder because of the electricity rate where I am. But just in terms of like learning and like having hands on and being able to like, you know, play with the device, they're relatively cheap. So if you are hosting, you know, just buy a BitAx so you have something there in your house that you can play with. It just adds like another interesting aspect to it. And even if you just think of it as like a novelty piece, you know, it's pretty cool to have. It's literally, I'm looking at it right now as I'm speaking to you. It's next to the picture of my kids here. I have a little toy train and then a BitAx.
So. Yeah, I have two of them. I actually shout out Ixtech Solutions, Sean over there. I bought the white paper edition BitAx Supra and I have to say this is a beautiful piece of art. It's, you know, it's all white. The PCB board is white. The fan is white and it's got a white paper introduction behind it. And I look at that thing all the time. I'm like, I don't even care if this thing ever finds a block. This is the coolest like piece that I have in my studio right now.
I saw that thing. That thing is fucking sweet. I saw it. I was like, oh, I wish I could get that thing.
Yeah, they're sweet. And now, you know, they're developing the white PCB boards. I think that right there is cool. You know, like, yeah, the BitX itself is great. And Solo Satoshi has done a great job. You know, you can get some cool stands and they're ramping up production on the BitX Gammas and the BitX Touch. I absolutely love what Solo Satoshi is doing. But the fact that it's an open source project and anybody can start working on it means that you're going to get different cool iterations. I'm going to shout out Bee Evolved right now. She's not on here, but she's working on a Bitty Axe, which is a PCB board that is half the size of a BitX board, and it's got the same hash rate output. So it's a much smaller, much more condensed version of the BitX, and it's pretty sweet too. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of these things come out of the BitX space, something that I'm super excited about. But, you know, another factor is that like when you're building, you don't learn until you run into problems necessarily. Like, yeah, you can plug a BitX in and you can set it up, but you're not really going to learn that much unless, you know, something happens. But when you take an S9, you know, back to the beginning of this conversation, when you take an S9 and you put it on your countertop and your wife comes in and starts yelling at you because it's making all this noise and it's annoying and atrocious looking, you have to start finding solutions to these problems. And, you know, that going back to what I was saying is like that sent me down this rabbit hole of trying to find a way to make a Bitcoin miner wife approved. And, you know, I'm proud to say that I finally did it. I worked with, 256 Heat up in Canada to develop a solution that I could shove in the wall above my HVAC system. So it's an S21 or an S19 K Pro powered, off of a Wi-Fi PDU switch. So my wife has an app on her phone. She can just press a button. It turns the PDU switch on, which powers the miner, which sends heat through a AC Infinity fan and ducks heat into our house. So, you know, she absolutely loves her heater. It is her heater. It's not my heater. It's hers. And, it's a Bitcoin mining heater. So I would have never gotten to that solution had it not been for, you know, her coming in and saying, get this annoying thing. We called it Terry. I don't know why that name came up, but we call it Terry. And she's like, get Terry off the fucking counter right now. So.
I don't know if I've seen this in real life or it's just some Disney movie that I'm thinking of, but you see the old man or the old woman in their house and they just have like hundreds of different clocks on their wall. I feel like that's going to be all of us, Bitcoiners, when we're 60, 70 years old with just all the different iterations and versions of these BitAxes throughout the years. We're going to just have our walls littered with hundreds of them. So that's how I picture my future.
Yeah, I don't know if that would be conducive for a healthy living environment at my house, but I could see a couple cool like pieces on the wall, just not like the crazy clock ladies in the Disney movies. That's not happening for me.
That's what basements are for.
There you go. Boom. Found a solution.
There you go. One wall dedicated to it. Well, thank you so much, Trevor. Where can we point everybody, outside of your, Build a Mine podcast?
Yeah, you know, I'm mainly just on Twitter at Trevor Bello, B as in boy, E-L-L-O. That's where I frequent most. I'm also on Noster. I don't know. I can pull up my Noster real quick to figure out. I think it's like trevorbello@iris.com. But, yeah, you know, just my podcast, and my X account.
One last quick question. Yeah. In your chili, do you prefer beans or Fritos?
Well, my wife makes homemade chili with beans. I've never had chili with Fritos, so I'm going to have to go with beans.
See, more evidence that he's a smart man and his wife knows how to cook. Unlike
Shoot. She makes some damn good chili. I'll tell you what, she made it just the other day and we had chili dogs. We had chili cheese fries and just regular chili for like 3 days. It was amazing.
Well, Trevor, I've agreed with everything you've said except for beans and chili, so.
Well, I think that's okay. That's, you know, we can't always agree on everything.
I guess that's true. We all have to have our differences. There always has to be a weird one in the group, so I guess that's Yomar and yourself.
There we go.
But I won't hold it against you. No, but seriously, I do thank you so much for coming on the show, Trevor. I did learn a lot here, and I hope everybody else did. And if everyone could, please give Trevor a follow and go follow his podcast. You are on Fountain and Spotify, correct?
Yes, I am on all the major platforms. I also share my podcast out on X. You know, we try to distribute a little bit evenly, just in case, you know, somebody tries to censor us. I'm on Rumble, YouTube, X, Spotify, all the good places. So Spotify is great because, you can watch the videos and then also listen to it if you just want to listen to the content. Most of the content on there can just be listened to. The new show that I have, you know, a little quick plug, I am developing a new show that dives specifically into open source and hash rate heating projects. So I'm going to build a lot of things like my Loki rig, my space heaters. I'm going to build some bit axes, those kinds of things. That show is called Stack and Sats. It's not out yet, but it will be out in the coming weeks. I've got a couple of really great episodes coming on that. So,
well, excellent. We wish you the best of luck with that. And we'll have to have you back on the show in a couple months, see what updates there are in the sector.
Absolutely, 100%. I'm your guy. Count me in.
Perfect. I look forward to it. And thank you so much, Trevor. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. So that's it, guys and girls. That's the show today. I do want to thank everybody for tuning in, everybody who participated, everybody who commented in the new comment section that we finally figured out. I promise I'll get the mic situation figured a little earlier in the show and we get our intro back in here. But I do appreciate everybody listening. Hunter, Death and Bitcoin, Miss Penny, Miss L, Ace, Bitcoin Is, Rental, Jesse, I got Freaky, Toasty. I do thank you all for listening. It does mean a lot. Tomorrow we will have our own VV, Dr. Nick, joining the panel again. And we're going to have a discussion on Bitcoin meetups. And what we found works, what we found we're struggling with, and just kind of tips and tricks to make sure that if you don't have one in your area, you don't have an excuse not to start one. And again, we'll go into it tomorrow, but it's going to be a great show. So make sure you tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. And that's all I have for you guys. Yomar, Bob, thanks for joining and thanks for commenting. And I will see you gentlemen tomorrow. Don't shitcoin though. It's like using
no shit coins.
It's like using dial up internet to stream a 4K movie.
100% agree. Thanks everybody.